Coming to you from the heart of Silicon Valley, this is CUDA Confidential, the official podcast of the San Jose Barracuda, AHL affiliate of the San Jose Sharks. Now, here's your host, Nick Nolenberger.
All right, here we go. It's year number 10 for the San Jose Barracuda since the franchise began back in 2015-16 as the Pacific Division of the American Hockey League was created. It should be an outstanding year. Tons of additions this past offseason. We've got that blend of young, exciting prospects that will be joining the fold. You've got players, I think of an Ethan Cardwell who's coming back for his second season at the pro level. How much better can he get? Can he take it to the next level and continue to push for NHL opportunities? Philip Bystedt, a rookie center iceman, former first round draft pick of the Sharks. They are extremely excited about his potential. His combination of size, skating ability, and hockey smarts should set him up quite well to embark on his pro career and pretty quickly start pushing for NHL opportunities. Then you look at the veterans that were added. Hard to look beyond a guy like Andrew Podorolski, a two-time Calder Cup champion. He's been to the finals four times. He's a scoring champion in the AHL, and he was part of a Coachella Valley Firebird team that reached the finals in each of its first 2 years. That's to name just a few of the new faces that'll join the Barracuda. It's 72 games. A lot can shake out. Health obviously impacts a lot of it, especially up in the NHL. You get an injured player up there, that impacts the AHL roster. But for the time being, the Sharks have tremendous depth within the organization, which is going to allow for these young players to stick in the AHL for a little bit longer to continue to marinate. It should be a lot of fun. Game one, October 12th against the Ontario Reign. The Barracuda open up their home slate. That's coming up October 19th at TechCU Arena. To help set the stage and preview the upcoming season, the great Drew Remenda joins us here on CUDA Confidential. So without further ado, here's Drew and I's conversation. All right, we welcome back maybe the busiest man in broadcasting, the great Drew Remenda.
I'm trying to tell you I'm the busiest guy in broadcasting.
Well, you're scheduled to do about 13 games with us this year. And as I communicated to you many a time last year, absolute blast to have you on the broadcast. Yeah, I think fans loved it to have your perspective, to see you seeing the prospects. I think is critically important too, because you're telling the story of the entire organization throughout the season for the Sharks. So first and foremost, thank you for doing that last year.
My pleasure. Can't wait
to have you back on this year. We'll have three television broadcasts on NBC Sports California. Drew will be part of all three. Those will not happen until after the turn of the new year, but looking forward to working alongside you. I want to ask first and foremost here, big offseason for the Sharks, big offseason for the Barracuda. Lots of young prospects joining the fold. Veteran players are going to help out this year at the AHL level. So what in your mind should be the expectations for the Barracuda going into this season?
This should be a playoff team. This should be a playoff team, and this should be a team that can be a top team, not only in the division, but I think in the conference as well. When you look at the way that this team is built now, as compared to last year. One, the thing that jumps out to me is size. The size difference from last year to this year is tremendous. Smallest guy is what? Ethan Cardwell of 5'10", but Ethan Cardwell plays like 6'10". The goaltending is obviously going to be the most exciting issue for the San Jose Barracuda with Askarov. And Yogi Romanov was good at training camp with the Sharks. He was good at times last year. If he can stay healthy, then you've got a formidable goaltending duo, but I'm really looking forward to seeing Askarov. But also, when you look at you know, going through the roster, I looked at the defense, and Nikki, this defense is defense that can move the puck, can get up in the play, can help offensively, which you need to have offensive help from your D. We know that, and this is a group of guys who can play D as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing Schultz. I'm looking forward to seeing Cagnoni. Hooley, I really liked last year. You and I talked about him a lot last year. This is going to be a very different Barracuda team. And I think with John McCarthy and another year under his belt, knowing what he has to do and how he has to, and working with Ryan Warsofsky, knowing that what he has to do and how hard he has to push these guys, and I think he has to push them hard. And you can dangle a lot in front of these guys. This is going to be a hungry group of guys to understand to get them to a point where they're pushing for a playoff team, and they should be a playoff team.
Well, you mentioned the goalies. You mentioned the D, the chicken and the egg. What was the issue last year? Was it youthfulness in between the pipes? You had a guy in Magnus Krona who had never played at the pro level. Georgi Romanov had never played in North America, and his pro sample was very small. Also, in front of him, you had a very inexperienced decor. So, was it a goalie issue or a defensive issue? I think we'll find out this year. But you did mention Askarov. He's the big piece, right? Huge piece for the organization moving forward. He's got a great attitude so far here in the AHL, recognizes that his time to the NHL is coming. It's in the very near future. And he understands that, and his attitude and approach has been great so far with the Barracuda. That's going to help a ton. And as you mentioned with Romanov, I really have liked his game in this training
So am
camp
I.
and leading into the year. He looks like a completely different guy, much more comfortable. And Evgeny Dabakov mentioned to me how big it was for him to get a year under his belt. Get used to North America. He's from a very small town back in Russia. It's a big kind of culture shock to come all the way across the world, right around the world, and then to a place that's much larger. It's more bustling. It's just a different environment. So I think that's going to go a long way. I want to ask you, primary goal for this team. You talked about the playoffs. This is always the balance, development,
Right.
success, wins, losses. What's most important? So what should the goal be for this team this year?
Well, I'm always a guy who we had to talk, about the Sharks. And my perspective has always been that if you're in professional sports, your goal should be to win. You develop by winning. I really firmly believe that you have to learn how to win in order to win at the top levels. I look at teams that have won championships, and Kenny Holland once told me when he was general manager of Detroit, you got to win down there before you can win up here, when he's talking about Adirondack at the time, and the importance of development. And I think you develop by winning. You also develop by losing, but I don't think you develop the same way. When you develop by losing, you're developing the individual, and that's it. Like the individual skill level, you're getting better as a player, your skill level and how you read the game, et cetera, et cetera. But when you develop by winning, it's when you also start to get big picture, how to work with your teammates, how to be in the dressing room with the guys, and how to make sure that you are in the right frame of mind, controlling the controllables and being ready for each game, how to be a pro, how what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and within the team structure. Trent Yonne used to say, you got to get players to play the way they don't want to play so they can become the players they want to become. So going through the hard stuff in order to win. Losing's easy, Nikki. It is. I've been there. I was part of the coaching staff, as I proudly say, lost 100 games quicker than anybody in the history of the National Hockey League. And it was easy. It's not easy going through emotionally, but you just go out and you try. It's, oh, well, darn it, didn't get it done. We just aren't good enough. The next, the 93, 94, Kevin Constantine comes in and there's no BS. We're here to make the playoffs. We're not here to be respected or considered competitive or hardworking. We're here to win games, make the playoffs. And within that, when we do that, we will be respected and hardworking and hard to play against. So within that winning, you develop the overall team skills you need as an individual to be successful in your next step. I don't know if
Well,
that does that make sense to
yeah,
you?
it makes absolute sense. And you talk about winning, right? It is a learned skill, right? And
Oh,
when you
yeah.
lose a lot, you kind of forget what it takes to win. Now, all these guys have won in their careers, but you lose that confidence and you start to doubt
Yes.
yourself. And you look what the Sharks did this offseason. You bring in Tyler Toffoli, who has a Stanley Cup championship ring. Jan Rutta has won a Stanley Cup. Barkley Goodrow has won a couple of cups. At the AHL level, they brought in Andrew Kolarowski, who's won two Calder Cups, one of those under Ryan Warsofsky. He's been to the Calder Cup final 4 years in a row. Jimmy Schultz was on his team in Coachella Valley. He, too, has been to the final the last couple of years. They brought in Joey Keane. He's on a PTO. We'll see if he ends up signing with the team. He's been in the KHL the last 2 years, but he, too, was on that Chicago Wolves team that won a Calder Cup with Ryan Warsofsky a couple of years ago. So it's a learned trait to win, but one way to learn how to win, if you're a young player, is watch what guys who have won before are doing, right? And that's
right.
Extremely important, I think, for this Barracuda team to bring in these veteran players who have not only had success on the score sheet, but have also won at a very high level.
And even like the younger guys, Luca Cagnoni, he goes to the conference, goes to the league finals last year in WHL. Hache, he was on, why am I blanking? Saginaw,
yep.
who won the Memorial Cup. I kept thinking he was on Windsor. But Saginaw, who won the Memorial Cup, and you look at guys who won at the amateur level now coming up. So yeah, that's really important. You have to be able to learn to win. Ron Wilson used to say it. It's hard to win in the NHL. It's not an easy thing. You look at how good the Sharks have been for a long time and how good they were at their peak. And they still didn't win at all because it's hard to win. You have to learn how to do it. And you better learn, in the AHL, because I love the AHL game. I've had so much fun doing these games with you because the games are fast. The guys have snarl in their game. They are hungry, young athletes. It's so much. It's a blast to do. And the game is really, really quick and really, really skilled. So if Johnny can get those guys to, McCarthy can get those guys to use that hunger and get going in the right direction, it's going to be a really good year for the Barracuda.
What in your mind should be the approach for those players that are right on the cusp? We saw a lot of guys stick around late into training camp. You mentioned Cagnoni. He was a surprise guy. He's a young player, just 19 years of age, was in camp almost all the way till the end for the Sharks. Philip Bisted, he's been talked about very highly the way he's played since yep. coming over from North America. Ethan Cardwell, I think, is right there. He's going to get some games this year.
I love Ethan Cardwell.
Jack Thompson, right on the cusp to get more NHL looks. So what should the mentality and approach be for those players who are now finding themselves to start the year, at least in the AHL?
Number one, I know they were all given a list of things like Quentin Musty. When Quentin Musty was sent back to junior, and I'm not sure where Quentin is right at the moment. he was told that Ryan Morosovsky said, he's got a list of things he needs to work on. And each guy was given specifics to work on. And you work on those. So obviously in practice and during games. So keep those in mind. But the best advice I give a young player here who's on the cusp is listen to your coaches, work with your teammates, be a good teammate, stay where your feet are, or be, as Ryan Warsofsky likes to say, Jimbo Fisher, NCAA football coach, be where your feet are. Don't be thinking, I gotta get to the Sharks by December. I got to do this. You are here, right here, right now. Be your best right here, right now with the CUDA. Help them win. And in the process, you'll get better because you'll be a big piece of it. Because if you're on the cusp, you're going to get some big minutes. Play to the point where the coaches want you to do. Always hold yourself at that expectation, but be where your feet are. Stay with the team. Not thinking about if I do this, then if I get 5 points tonight, I'm definitely going to be getting called up. Don't be that guy. We know those guys. Those guys don't ever, well, they might get called up, but then they don't stick around, right? Because they don't fit in the team mentality. They're selfish players. Be a good teammate. Be a good Barracuda. Be a great Barracuda and stay where your feet are.
Let's put the coaching lens on. What is the relationship in your mind this season going to be like between John McCarthy and the Barracuda coaching staff and Ryan Warsofsky and the Sharks coaching staff in terms of philosophy, in terms of stylistic approach for the team? There's a connection there. They're both from Boston. J-Mac played with Warzo's brother at BU, so there's a built-in chemistry already. But how do you anticipate that relationship, and how do you anticipate the two teams almost looking and maybe playing like one another?
Well, I know that David Quinn and John talked a lot last year, and And I'm sure Ryan will continue that. Ryan's a great communicator, and so is Johnny. You know, we talked to them. I talked to them both in the summer on the that on the Art of Coaching show on the Sharks Audio Network, and they have different philosophies, but or different approaches, but their philosophy is pretty much the same, which is be able to ask, demand a lot of your players, but hold them accountable with reasonability. I think that, and it should be, in my opinion, that communication, that line of communication should be really open and should be back and forth. If either guy's got questions, you just, you know, either walk down the hallway or you give them a call, or text. Well, nowadays we text, right? We never talk to anybody. So that should be a pretty seamless, no problem situation. But also I think Johnny could talk to Doug Huda, could talk to Brian Wiseman, can talk to anybody on that coaching staff, Jeff Ulmer, and think, say what they think, and vice versa. That should be a very open line. And I'm sure it is, because we know all those guys. They're all good people. You know, they're all good hockey people, and they want to be at their best. And they know that the more information they get and the more opinions they get, you can see what works for you and what doesn't work for you. But knowledge is strength. So I'm sure that that will be a very open line and should be a very open line.
All right, sell the AHL game for us. For folks who have not been to TechCU Arena, beautiful facility, obviously opened up a couple of years ago. This is a great product, high-end, fast, intense hockey, as you mentioned. But you watch every Sharks game, and you watch a lot of the Barracuda games. So you see these players firsthand in the flesh. You watch the two different styles. What do you notice maybe is the largest difference between the two leagues? And what do you notice is maybe the things they have most in common when you watch the two different products?
Well, the most they have in common is how quick the game is. The players are extremely quick, and the game moves quick. Although the AHL game for me moves quicker than the NHL game. The NHL game is a little bit more controlled in every level. You know, you start coaching kids and it's just, they're just going everywhere, right? And then as you get up in each level, you get more structure to your game. You see a little bit more structure from to bantam hockey to under 18 hockey, and then the, you know, junior B and junior A, and then major junior and college or whatever route you decide. More structure as you get up. So there's a little less adherence to structure in the AHL, which makes it a much more entertaining game. Like the NHL is entertaining, of course it is. But the AHL, to me, because there's that little less bit of structure, there's more apt for a mistake here that leads to a breakaway opportunity, or at least to a two-on-one, or a big save that changes the way the game goes, or something like that, a missed coverage in the defensive zone. Mistakes equal chaos, and chaos equals entertainment. The game, and there is more, I'm sorry, there's more snarl in the game. There's more pushing and shoving. There's more scrums after. Guys are, they've got that edge. There's not as many fights anymore in the game of hockey. It's starting to dwindle out, but there's still the odd pugilistic matchup. I know that some people don't like it. I understand their thoughts. I know that some people love it. I understand their thoughts, but it's in the game, and I've never seen anybody leave the rink when there's a fight, ever. And so there, it's just, to me, it's a little bit more raw than the National Hockey League, a little less polish, but it doesn't mean it's not as entertaining, because it is fun to watch. And again, the hunger on these guys, you can see game in, game out, that they are hungry. They want, and it's sometimes when you watch the NHL games, as we get on through the year, Todd McClellan, our good friend, has a saying, it's hard to be hungry when you're full. Now, sometimes when it's the third game out of four nights and you're making a lot of money, sometimes, and you're traveling, sometimes that game's not going to be your best effort. It's natural. It's a human emotion, or it's a human trait. I get it. There's more, I don't mean this to be negative to the NHL guys, but there's more want, if that makes any, you know, there's more burning desire to go out and try to prove something every single night if you're on the AHL game. That's what I see anyway.
Well, it makes total sense, right? These guys are right on the bubble, right on the cusp, and they're trying to get to the highest level. And that's the goal for every one of these guys. Nobody has more passion for the game than Drew Amenda. That was a outstanding breakdown. I can't wait to do these games this year. It's going to be a blast as we had last year. And you're going to be a busy guy, as you always are. But thank you for the time, carving out a little bit of time for us. But partner, appreciate it. Enjoy the season. Enjoy both teams.
See you on the 19th, right? Home
Yes,
opener on
sir.
the 19th. I'll
Yes,
be
sir.
there.
See you then. That does it for our Barracuda 24-25 season preview. Cannot wait for another year. A reminder, throughout the season, you can find our broadcast for free at sjbarracuda.com/listen. And whenever the Sharks are not playing, we will also be on the main audio network channel. You can go to sjsharks.com/listen, or you can find both streams within the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. You can also watch the games throughout the year on AHL TV on Flow Hockey. Should be a lot of fun. Cannot wait to bring you the play-by-play. I'm juiced up. I hope you are too. That does it for our show. I'm Nick Nolenberger saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.